The lights are on red. We're away.
Welcome to MotoGPOD, the internet radio show about motorcycle road racing. And today is December 11th, Friday. This is episode 207. My name is Jules Cusack. With me is Jim Race. Hello, Jim.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing very good. Thank you.
This week, I went to see Ticket to the Limit at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. A bunch of motorcycle enthusiasts were there. Peter Starr, the director of the film, was there. This was a benefit for the Media Healing Arts. It's a group that's raising awareness about various treatments for prostate cancer. Peter Starr was there on hand, did a little bit of an auction. They auctioned off a leather jacket, intercom. It was a really nice turnout. It was fun to see that movie. I've seen the movie before, but it was fun to see it on the big screen. And then he had some interesting things to say at the end, specifically about like how they did some of the onboard footage, which nowadays we take for granted, but back in 1979 was pretty hard to come by.
Were they selling copies, or does anybody put that out, like Duke Video or anything like that?
You know, I thought I had it actually in my library, and I looked down after I came home. I was like, because he said that they're getting ready to put out a DVD of the movie.
Okay.
And I was like, I could have sworn I had it, and then I was like, gee, I hope it's not some, you know, ripped copy.
Yeah, perhaps you acquired it through alternate means.
Yeah, but I looked in there, and I was like, no, actually, I have, like, some combo pack from Duke that has, like, V for Victory and other movies that we'll talk about later. But I, you know, so I remember how I saw it. It was probably just playing on speed or something at some point.
Sure.
But anyway, it was really fun to watch a movie like that on a big screen with a bunch of motorcycle enthusiasts. There was a friend of mine was watching it with me, and we were just like laughing at, because it's a fairly dated film.
Sure.
And yet at the same time, it has some amazing stuff that's totally, you know, blows me away to this day. So
when I was a kid growing up down in Southern California, back in like the mid 70s, I was really big into going to see surf movies. And it was always fun because, you know, you go to a theater, and there's no such thing as DVDs or, you know, that was the beginning of VHS time, or beta, if you will.
Did they have sound in those days?
Oh. a little bit, yeah. No, they had a guy playing piano in the background. Oh, no, it was just so cool when you're with a group of enthusiasts and you're all into the same thing. And yeah, it's a total blast, so. I'm glad you got to go. It was a nasty night, was it not?
It was. It was very cold. There was a little bit of snow that day, actually, in San Francisco. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, the weather here has been a little bit crazy.
This is a film that really kind of follows on the heels of On Any Sunday, which was a really kind of seminal motorcycle movie that I think everybody's seen. And if you haven't, you should totally see it. It's a little bit more jumbled, and the edit's kind of strange, and it doesn't really have like a storyline. It just basically just talks about pretty much every kind of motorcycle racing there is. A lot about motocross, and you know, it starts with Kenny Roberts. I mean, it starts with oval dirt track racing, and then goes on to show Roberts on that incredible TZ750, and how he won the championship. The AMA champs.
Yeah, I mean, some really classic old road racing, some really totally classic, and it's a Bruce Brown film. And going back to what I was saying before, you know, he was the seminal surfing videographer back in the day. You know, any movie that's got Steve McQueen racing in it, it's going to be good too. So,
well, you're talking about Any Sunday now.
Yeah.
No, I'm still talking about Ticket to the Limit.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And the movies are very similar. That's funny that you made that error, because that is exactly like how I feel when I watch Ticket to the Limit. It's a kind of not a sequel, but an homage to On Any Sunday, which is. But Ticket to the Limit has some really amazing onboard stuff, including Mike Hale going around the Isle of Man. Mm. And instead of like the famous Joey Dunlop one, which we'll have to talk about later, he's actually talking through the ride as he's on the bike. He's concentrating so much that like he'll be talking to me, then he'll hear him talk himself through the gears. So that's probably like when he's riding, he's probably thinking a lot about that corner. This I need to end up in this gear. So he's you know, he's counting through and he's breathing, and you can just really feel the tension as he's going through his corners. It was a terrible day for going out on the island. The you know, he had the fog and rain and stuff like that. So it was pretty intense. But the really interesting thing was afterwards, somebody in the theater asked about the onboard camera, and you know, it was film, obviously, 1979. They were using these cameras that mounted both on the bike and on the helmets, but they were like 8 pounds plus another 8 pounds as a counterweight on the other side of the helmet, for example. So you're talking about an extra, like, you know, almost 20 pounds on your neck. And they only had like 90 seconds worth of film,
right,
per cartridge. They would stop the bike and, you know, reload it and go around a little bit more, and pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff. And they did some more of that as time went on, and I think right before they went to not necessarily digital, but tape that could last an entire 37-mile lap, you know, they were doing like, you know, 4 stops per lap. And just thinking about that is just crazy, you know, even when the camera sizes were coming down. You know, these days they literally call them lipstick cams because that's pretty much the size that they are. And the technology has come so far. So,
anyone can own one now. I think that, I mean, there's if you poke around on YouTube, like, there is so much bike onboard video that people just do, you know, amateur stuff that.
Well, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And thank you to Drew Firth for sending us that info. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. I did stick around for a little bit afterwards, hoping that I could run into somebody, but the crowd dispersed because I think of the weather, and everybody wanted to just get home because it was just so damn cold that I didn't get to meet Drew, and was meeting some other people there. I don't know if they showed up or not. Anyway.
All right. So let's rock through some of our recommendations and some of our anti-recommendations we've got.
Right.
In the documentary category, the Academy says, the aforementioned Take It to the Limit, and of course the seminal classic, which is On Any Sunday. And version 2 is not bad either. On Any Sunday is just fun. It's a fun movie to watch, you know, as soon as it fires up, and I can hear the soundtrack in my head because it's so 70s.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah, very good.
No singing, Jim. Yeah, I'll put that up there with the AMA band. But it's just a great one. And, you know, odds are you've probably seen it. And if you haven't, make sure you get it. It's a must add to anybody's library.
Yeah, and you can get, I believe you can get it from Duke, right?
Yeah, you can get it from Duke. You can get it. In fact, it's available free online through Hulu, I think, right now.
Oh, perfect.
And we'll put a link into that for the show. So, and the quality is pretty good. And it's actually worth it, you know. You got an hour to kill at lunch or a long lunch. fire it up. The second one is another classic.
V for Victory.
Yeah, V for Victory. And that one has a whole bunch of onboard stuff from the Isle of Man. Certainly in my library, and has been for years. There's a bunch of Isle of Man videos, but I think that is just the classic one with a bunch of V4s and that unearthly howling sound.
And it has one of the, basically Joey Dunlop talks through the entire lap of the Isle of Man, and it's one of the funniest, you know, little interviews, because the guy he's talking to is just aghast. It's like the best way to put it, at some of the things that Joey's saying. So it's like, oh yeah, you know, over here I'm going up a curb with the back wheel a little bit, and the guy's like, you're going up the curb? You know, we have hospitals for people like you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Next to V for Victory, I put the Road Riders, because I just happened to have a DVD from Duke that I got that was like a double feature. And Road Riders is a it's the Northwest 200, which is the Irish road race that's probably one of the most insane road races out there. It's still to this day being run, and man, those are some freaking insane races, because it's not like the Isle of Man, which is where everybody's separated by 10 seconds at the start. Everybody, it's a race, except it's on the streets.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely incredible, and frankly, that track in a way has, and it's a super high speed track. The average around there is faster than the Isle of Man, I believe. I'm not positive. But is it the Road Riders or Road Racers? It's the Road Racers.
Oh, it's the Road Racers, sorry.
I think the really cool thing about it is you get to see a really young, struggling Joey Dunlop. And in his really classic phase, without any polish or anything, you know, smoking.
Or sponsorship much.
smoking on the grid, you know, waiting for the race to start. Just very, very cool. And for those of us that kind of were drawn into the sport, and that's certainly me, through Real Roads Racing, it's an excellent peek into the reality of what it took to run those races back then.
I think the movie that most of our listeners have seen is Faster by Mark Neal. And I have watched that movie, I think, probably like 20 times now.
Yeah.
You know, at least, actually. And it's incredible. It is one of my favorite things to watch when I just want to get back. Like I'm going to be watching it probably this weekend, because I'm getting the itch to, you know, watch something MotoGP related. Man, it's a freaking amazing film. It's a, you know, great documentary, incredible soundtrack, incredible footage. I think it brought me a lot closer to the sport. A lot of the personalities kind of exposed. It was quite a groundbreaking film.
True. And there was a sequel to that, which was Faster and Faster, but it was kind of just an extended version, was it not? Or was it the next year? Or
It was actually the next year, because it covers the Rossi switch to Yamaha, which was mentioned in 2003 at that point. So it's definitely worth getting the two-disc version, which is the ultimate version of the DVD, to see that Faster and Faster section, because it's also quite awesome.
Yep. And then the follow-up, in some degrees, to that was also from Mark Neal, was The Doctor of the Tornado and the Kentucky Kid. That was a story of the 2006?
2005.
Or 2005 U.S.
Yeah, the first one. First one, yep.
Laguna Seca. And that's got some really cool stuff in it. Faster is still the king of, in my opinion, of the stuff that he's come out with, but certainly a great series of movies and will draw you into the inside of the GP world.
DTK is very, very interesting in that it's covering just a very specific round.
Right.
So it just covers one race in the same amount of time that Faster covered like a bunch of seasons. So it's got huge amounts of onboard footage, and you know, they're talking about very specific passes and also stuff like that. And so it's interesting in a different way. It's got the same kind of like atmosphere that Mark Neal has been able to create around motorcycle racing, with the way he uses the soundtracks and the way he edits the movie together. It's just really tight and boom, 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 you know?
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. I like Mark's style a lot.
Dust to Glory, which I have not seen.
Oh, dude.
Is that the Baja one?
It's the Baja one, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not purely a motorcycle movie, obviously.
It's cars and bikes. Yes, I have seen it.
It's cars, bikes, and Beatles.
Yep, okay.
Which don't count as cars in my book. it's incredible. It's an incredible documentary about the Baja 1000. And the motorcycle parts of it are to me, just brilliant. You know?
Well, Baja's amazing, as are, frankly, any of the off-road races. You know, there's a Charlie Borman one where he did the Dakar. Not sure if you've seen that before. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. The road to Dakar.
Yeah. Which we didn't have on our list here, but that's also a pretty good documentary. But you have to be able to take Charlie Borman. I think a lot of people are just like, they love him. Especially him and Ewan together, or they're just kind of meh. That leads us into our next one. which is the Long Way series, Long Way Round and Long Way Down, with both you and Charlie. The first trip is basically going from the UK all the way across the European continent to, the European continent and further, frankly. They went to New York, I believe.
Yeah, they went to New York, but they went east instead of west.
Yes, exactly. They went east.
That's why it's called the long, the wrong way round.
Yeah, and especially their trip, the parts that really fascinated me were the parts going through Russia. I thought that was really cool.
Russia and Mongolia. Yeah, I agreed.
All sorts of misadventures and crashes and issues, much as you'd imagine. And the preparation was also really interesting too, I thought, for the thing. And they covered that pretty much in depth.
Both of these are multi-episode. I got the set of Long Way Round, Long Way Down, and the Race of Dakar all in one box set. And that was weeks of enjoyment during the last winter break, actually, for me. So,
yeah, it's good stuff. And I've shared that's a program that I've shared with my non-motorcycling friends, and they loved it too.
Exactly, because it's very accessible in that way, because both Charlie and Ewan McGregor are such cool guys, and they really kind of let you in, and they're so good with the cameras and stuff. And let's not forget Claudio Von Planta, who was the cameraman on those, because there's some hilarious stuff in the Long Way Around when he fails to pass this riding test.
Yeah.
and doesn't get his license. So the prep stuff you mentioned, yeah. And I think anybody's ever watched any one of those movies has then scratched their head and said, I really want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and then so that was Long Way Around. Long Way Down was a little bit different, because that went from the UK down to Cape Horn.
No, they went all the way down. Yeah, to Cape Horn. Yep.
Okay. And that was a lot different. That was a bit of a different show. It was a little. It seemed a little bit better planned, but a little bit more staged.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It definitely didn't have that rawness to it.
Yeah.
But it also had some incredible moments in it, and
sure,
Ewan McGregor gets attacked by the elephants is probably one of my favorite little moments there.
Yeah, and when his wife joined him for a while too, that was pretty cool. I remember that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's that one is also closely tied with Riders for Health. They actually do a visit with them, and I believe proceeds from the movie went to Riders for Health. So
excellent. I haven't seen this last one in the documentary, so
neither have I. This is actually this movie. Fred Lindstrom from the Dukai List and Facebook and other places where he finds me and bothers me. Just kidding, Fred. He posted like a YouTube video of this, and I've never even heard of this film before. I looked it up, but there's not much information about it. It's called Le Cheval de Fer,
mm-hmm.
Which means the Iron Horse, and I really, really want somebody out there to tell me that they've seen it and they know how to get a hold of it. I believe that you can get it in Europe in region 2, possibly.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a movie about road racing. It was made in 1984. Man, I would love to figure out a way to see it here in America.
So that's kind of a short list. I'm sure there's others that you guys can think of. And feel free to let us know, and we can either add it to list. Maybe we'll compile a little bit of a list that we can keep at MotoGPOD.com. That's a short list, however, of just documentaries. We'll zip through the non-documentaries because there's some, and a few other categories, which, we might semi-pan some movies, in the non-documentary or the fiction class. Throw up first. It's got a lot of bikes, and it's got a lot of other things in it too, is the entire Mad Max series.
Yeah, and especially the first one, because it's got the Kawasaki 1000 pack.
Yeah.
Which, as much as Road Warrior is kind of panned as the best one, I was watching the whole series early this year, and I was like, Mad Max, the original one, was the best one of them. It was a little cheesy, but it's such a good film. It's got such great moments in it, and the Cowie crew is quite something. I think it's given so much atmosphere to around motorcycling. You know, to this day, like, people kind of associate people who dress like the Mad Max people with motorcycles, and vice versa, and it's kind of hilarious. It's really, really hilarious, like the reach that film had into our culture.
And so, yeah, I mean, Mad Max is one of those movies you can watch over and over again too. Here's one that you may not have seen. It all kind of depends maybe on how old you are. I think it came out in the 80s, mid-80s, and it's called Race for Glory. And have you seen it?
No, I have not.
It's about a guy that wants to race the old school GP500, so he builds his own bike. And they're out of some mid-east place, and he builds a bike, and he's riding around in the woods back there. And, you know, I haven't seen it in years, but it's kind of cheesy in some ways, but it's still fun to hear a two-stroke in a fictional racing movie. So see if you can get a hold of that. I remember watching it. I think I've got a VHS somewhere in a box here in my house of it.
Very cool. No, I've never even heard of it, so that's great.
Yep.
Something new for me to check out.
Another classic, Jules. How about that one?
Yeah, Easy Rider, huh? Yeah, it's so, you know, the funny thing is I don't really consider this a motorcycle movie, but it's got so much motorcycling culture in it that, it needs to be on this list.
Yeah.
I guess because...
I think it's classic for a lot of reasons, simply because of the era that it was made in, and probably, you know, the bike that Peter Fonda wrote was iconic to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it is a chopper movie, and we're a race show, so... But we threw it out there because it had two wheels. And we're throwing another one out right after that that still is the same thing. And, in fact, anybody that mocks us on this will have to go through me first, because I'm a big Who fan, and Quadrophenia.
We have
plenty of motorcycles in that, awful lot of scooters, and some great fights in Brighton, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of drug use in that movie, too, I'm telling you. But yet another movie that you can watch over and over again. And I've got a copy of that on DVD. I've got the album. One of the best albums, one of my favorites, at least for me. Now, you listed the next one.
Yeah, and My Bodyguard.
And I thought about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He rode a bike.
Well, it's more than that. It's like they actually found, built, I mean, restored, got this thing rolling, and then rode a motorcycle. So it's, you know, I kind of feel like it needs to be on this list. It's kind of a cheesy movie, but, you know.
I've seen it a few times. I haven't watched it in years, but it's got a motorcycle in it. Now, the next, however, is a classic. Walk us through this one, because it's one of the best ones, especially in recent years.
The World's Fastest Indian.
Yep.
Yeah, saw it in the theater when it came out, and I forget exactly what my wife said, but she was like, it's a feel-good movie for motorcycle enthusiasts.
Okay.
Because it is a feel-good movie. It's kind of a chick flick. You know, because she really enjoyed it too. But it's, you know, it's got a, it centers about a guy who's just nuts about motorcycles, and you know, does the Bonneville stuff, and it's based on a true story. So it's,
well, on top of that, it's Anthony Hopkins stars, and, you know, the guy's quite a renowned actor and does a great job in the movie, and takes a beat up old Indian to, or basically a handmaid pouring his own pistons, beat up old Indian from Australia to Bonneville, and goes through all sorts of trials and tribulations just trying to get to run, and does a fantastic job. So it's really good. Really good.
New Zealand.
Is it New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh man. Now there's more hate mail. Sorry guys. as far as the fictional ones go, I'd stick that as far as kind of it's another great family flick, I think.
Yeah, totally. I put Motorcycle Diaries on here. It's
classic.
Yep.
You know, I'm surprised Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance has never made it to the big screen.
You're surprised?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this the other day. How could they possibly make that book into a movie?
I, They make lots of books and movies, Jules.
I know, but it happens inside somebody's head, really. I mean,
true.
It's
true.
The trip that guy takes is
quite
deep. Yes, Robert Persig. Yep.
Yeah, but it's one that you almost wish somebody had tried. But I see your point. And maybe we'll talk about motorcycle books one of these days.
Yeah.
Really put people to sleep. And then the last one under fiction, The Wild Ones. I haven't seen that forever.
Right. It's actually a terrible film. It's really terrible.
But it's also iconic in its own way.
Oh, yeah. I think it kind of like establishes, it's got Marlon Brando in it.
That was the Hollister, the one about all the stuff that used to go on in Hollister. It's black and white flick, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the earliest ones. You know, there's, I remember a couple of other motorcycle movies from back in the day that were like all rotating around motorcycle gangs and stuff like that. And they had some really cheesy names.
Well, I've got that in the movies we won't talk about because there's a whole slew of B-type Hell's Angels, Bikers from Hell kind of genre, you know, bikini biker gangs from, Choppers from Hell, all that kind of stuff. Some of them had some big names in it. I think Jack Nicholson was like in two or three of them after Easy Rider, or even before, maybe some of them. And they were, you know, horrible, horrible, horrible movies. So we really can't talk too much about it. But
you could probably say that for every good one that's made, then there's been three bad ones that have
at least
and at least a few of them probably had Roger Corman involved.
But yeah, but The Wild One kind of started the motorcycle gang movie, but that was way ahead of his time because that was early 50s, I believe, 1952 or 3 or something like that.
It's back when motorcycle tires looked like truck tires.
Yep.
So then we also have our awesome scenes with a motorcycle, but not really about motorcycles in the first place. Walk through that list, and I'm going to add one while you do so.
Okay. Yeah, so the classic one that comes to mind is The Great Escape, of course, which has one of the most awesome stunt sequences, which was actually done without a stuntman because Steve McQueen did his own motorcycle riding there, and including like a little jump over some fence.
Did you know that there? So I saw somewhere, I think it was on YouTube, like a year ago, that somebody recreated that.
Oh shit! Really?
Yeah, with the Triumph, a similar era. I think it was a current one that had been like built up from the old stock parts, and maybe a slightly more modern frame. But let me see if I can dig that up, and I'll put in the link because it's actually really cool. I'm pretty sure it was on YouTube. I saw it.
Wow, that's something. That's really cool.
Yeah, to pull it off. I mean, back in the day then, too, I mean, that was just regular Triumph, too. So
absolutely.
Anything with Steve McQueen and motorcycles is going to be worth watching. Wasn't he the one that said, was it him? I think it was. He said something along the lines, and I wish I could remember the exact verbiage, but racing is life, everything else is just waiting.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to nail me for not getting that exactly right, but
I think that's about right. I think it's like everything before and after racing is just waiting.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
I keep on going with the list here.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, the classic movies that people always bring up is Matrix 2 and Terminator 2, where there's, you know, serious bike stuntage going on, and I put Matrix 2 on there mainly because they featured the Ducati and Ducati actually made a Matrix edition of the bike, which is, God, I don't remember what year that was, the year after the movie came out. So 2002, probably.
I never saw that. Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, it just looks kind of black green on photos, but it has this sparkle underneath that reminds you of the Matrix thing, you know, the like falling letters.
Neat.
So yeah, it's pretty wild. The Matrix, and it actually says the Matrix edition. It's a 996. I put Black Rain in there because it's got a lot of motorcycle racing scenes in Tokyo. It's an interesting film. It's by Ridley Scott, who has made some fantastic movies and a couple of duds, but this one is more to towards the duds, unless, I don't know, unless you feel it's not.
Yeah, that was Kirk Douglas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, not Kirk, but Michael.
Or Michael, sorry, yeah, dating myself, aren't I? And then the last one on there.
Oh, I like that.
I
like
just
that.
Added was Tron. And the reason I say that.
No, I completely understand.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I just watched like an hour ago, a Tron 2, trailer build up thing that it has it totally updated. And the entire thing is a motorcycle chase scene, but brought into 2010. You know, it's another movie that we don't have on this awesome scenes with motorcycles, but really is a motorcycle movie, is Akira.
Oh my God. Of course.
And kind of in the same vein, but you know, it's more of clearly an animated movie, but, Akira is one that I bought back in the 80s, even before it.
I have to say, you know what? I should be kicking myself in the head because Akira actually is the movie that really got me interested in motorcycles.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's when I went over the edge and I realized I really wanted to ride one, not just, like, you know, watch some somebody else riding it.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, the movie was so bizarre. You know, you watched Take the Limit of the Galaxy, right?
The Roxy.
That's in the Mission.
Yep.
That's where I saw Akira.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
After having way too many beers at a bar around the corner with a bunch of friends.
Nice.
All right. So the movies that we won't talk about, we're just going to walk through this list. And these are on our not really recommended list. I'm going to run through them real quick.
Well, I'm going to mention the first one because I actually watched it. Okay. Torque.
Okay.
It's built. I mean, it really is like a motorcycle movie. It's made, it centers all around motorcycles. The way it's a motorcycle Fast and Furious, basically.
Yeah.
And it's so bad that I actually ended up watching the whole thing. It's kind of like, you know, when you get a bad tooth and you keep just touching your tongue to it, even though you know it's going to hurt like hell, and you just keep doing it. You know? Anybody who isn't into motorcycles would hate it. Because the story is so stupid. Anybody who's into motorcycles will hate it because the motorcycle scenes were so stupid. Like, they had race bikes that would suddenly go off-road, and, God, it was just horrible.
Yeah, you know, another couple of movies that just on the very prior list just popped into my mind was the one scene that actually kind of brought bikes a little bit in the mainstream in Top Gun with Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
And there was also another one. I want to say it was Tom Cruise too, but I don't think it was. There was a Bond movie that had a bunch of motorcycle stuff in the last few years.
I've kind of lost
interest
in Bond, but
pushing off into the periphery. Anyway, the anti movies, Ghost Rider. I have seen little bits and pieces of that, and that was plenty.
Yep.
Murdercycle. I hate simply from the title. Wild Hogs is one of the more recent movies that's come out, and I caught a little bit of that. I think I watched a trailer and I'm like, no. It's primarily a comedy and a goofy comedy. I couldn't even tell you who is in it, but they're relatively popular.
Well, it's got Travolta and
yeah, and that's fine. That's more than I need to know.
It's got the guy from how the Home Improvement.
Oh yeah,
Tim something. Anything he's in, automatically he's terrible. Like just by him being, by virtue of him being in, except maybe I think Toy Story, he did the voiceover.
For, yeah, exactly.
Or Buzz Lightyear, but
nothing personal about those particular actors. But the whole premise of the movie was just dumb. It was, you know, there was a movie just like that, only they were on a similar sets of actors were on a dude ranch. I had like Billy Crystal and a bunch of other guys. It was like they just ported this thing from horses to bikes.
No, City Slickers, yeah.
Yeah, City Slickers.
I think I made the mistake of watching that one.
Yeah. And you think back on it, I'm right. They just did the same thing, you know.
Well, I didn't see Wild Hogs, but I imagine that's exactly what it's like.
I saw enough of it to draw that connection between the two. And then the last one on our list, which I just laughed when I saw that you put it.
well, before that, I just want to say, like, we obviously are not going to go through all the different, you know, like how to and stunt video things like, Street Racer, Underground Street Racer, all that kind of crap. I mean, there's tons of DVDs that you could get that have bike action, you know, from various shows and underground racing series, and obviously season reviews.
Sure, those are great.
Until about 2005, the official MotoGP reviews DVDs were quite good.
Yeah.
They started to go downhill when they became, I don't know, something about them changed, and they also stopped covering the smaller classes, and basically there was just less material each year. So I stopped getting them. So I think the last one I have is 2007. Anyway, but you were about to say that last thing, let's not forget.
The infamous.
Chips.
you know, I could also hear the theme song to that in my head.
Oh, yeah. The synthesizer. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh God, I'm singing again. All right, we need to move on.
Yeah, but you know what? That was another one where like they had some great stunts, and you kind of got to say, hey, you know, these things are cool. These motorcycles, like I want to ride one.
Punch and John.
Yeah. who did you identify with?
I was always sort of a John kind of dude, even.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah. Punch was just way too flashy and overbearing. And I mean, it is kind of funny because I grew up here in California. And I grew up, when I was growing up, that show was all over TV. And my parents watched it, which I thought was really odd because they were in law enforcement. But I think they mostly watched it to laugh at it. All right, so enough of the movie stuff. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with us.
I'll put a link to a document on the website, and if you guys send in other things that we missed that we should be, you know, shot for or whatever, we'll just add it to the list.
Cool, and if you do send something in and also have a link where it can be purchased or watched online for free legally, please include that with your email. That'd be great. All right, so on to real motorcycles happening now. and certainly nonfiction. We've had a test the last 2 days, or 3 days, in Valencia. And it's been a weird one. And I cannot I'm sure somebody will correct me here, but I cannot remember for the life of me when there was a combined test between any of the classes in the MotoGP series and the World Superbike series. Can you?
No, and it actually makes sense that they wouldn't be normally together because you wouldn't want to start comparing times in the same day, in the same conditions, and get the Flamini brothers and Dorna, you know, at arms about it.
Yeah.
So it is kind of strange.
But in fact, that has happened. We had the Moto2 guys running essentially at the same time as the World Superbike. And the Superbike, I don't think there was much of Super... No, there was no Super Sport people out there as far as I know. Well, with the exception of Ant West running a quote-unquote Moto2 bike, which was essentially a re-badged Steedy bike that he raced last year. And he led for the quote-unquote Moto2 guys all weekend. Of the real Moto2 bikes... And by a significant margin, he was quick all weekend. But the quickest real Moto2 bike was basically Robbie Rolfo, which is a impressive thing because a lot of people had kind of written him off. But you know, the times were kind of all over the place in the Moto2 ranks. And on top of that, well, so Aprilia is pulling out or pulling their bikes back or pulling their chassis back has created a huge nightmare for a lot of people. And so there's 1, 2, 3, 6 teams including, you know, Aspar, and Martinez has been kind of scrambling to perhaps take over that development, but I don't think that's going to happen at this point. Which has kind of thrown FTR into the mix in a big way. And FTR has been really cool to me lately. They've been feeding me a lot of information, so I want to thank you guys. I appreciate it. And so without running through all the ranks, we've been talking about it at Right On 2. We've been including some of it. David at Moto Matters has been putting up a whole bunch of stats and information, so take a look at either place. On the World Superbike side, and I'm still freaked out that they're all running at the same time.
It is wild.
And, you know, it was funny because Alex Hoffman was there as a test rider on the Aprilia. Was doing a bunch of tweets about things. And he's like, you know, he's like, the current Moto2 bikes are significantly slower. Well, all the Moto2 bikes right now are basically is whatever the chassis is, the various manufacturers' chassis are at their current development cycle, which is still kind of down. They haven't had a lot of testing time, right? But nobody's got the real engine. And we've talked about this before. Some guys have a kitted out Honda. Some guys have a stock CBR 600 engine. I think it was there in a bike or two out there with, BQR maybe, still had a Yamaha engine in it. And, so they're all different. So the times are testing for Moto2, you have to take it all with a big grain of salt. World Superbike, a little bit different. There are some guys out there with 2009, some guys out there with 2010s. Consistently, the two fastest guys on the weekend were Biaggi and Haslam. And that stayed the way through the whole weekend, or the whole both days.
Didn't Biaggi actually break the record?
He did. He did. He broke the lap record.
Yeah. For superbikes, yeah.
Yeah. Crutchlow was quick. Tozen was quick for a bit. Johnny Ray. You know, it's hard to know what's really going on because you don't know what kind of parts and pieces they're fitting to these bikes or if they have their 10s or if they're still on their 09s. And so these early preliminary tests are kind of tough to figure out. The weather's supposed to be really nice at Valencia tomorrow, and in fact, there's a lot of teams that have opted to stay. This speaking of Friday. You know, maybe we'll see some new stuff tomorrow. I'm not really sure.
That'd be actually very cool.
Yeah. It's great of them to extend a test to be able to do that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that both series, I mean, all the series have cut back on testing. So, that day is a gift.
Exactly. And considering what, you know, the Moto2 teams are having to go through as far as waiting on an engine, figuring out how to map it later, and figuring out how to make design changes to the chassis. They need every lap they can get.
Yeah. What I find amazing is how many teams, I don't think anybody has withdrawn except for the, except for Aprilia withdrawing as a manufacturer.
Right.
The teams are really, you know, sticking it out, which is awesome. Despite all the fact that Aprilia left and the fact that there's been delays with the actual motor.
Yeah, we lost Team KR, maybe one or two others, but
those guys pulled out before the
right
before any of this went down, before the engines got delayed and all that kind of stuff. Because I think they just pulled out because they just knew that they weren't going to be able to finance it.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is on top of that, I know of at least two other teams that are not in there this year are building Moto2 chassis, are in the process of designing and building Moto2 chassis. So there's strong support from the outside and. Teams that, you know, we're talking about people that don't yet have anybody committed to their teams, but there's still a lot of ongoing development on bikes that people aren't riding yet. There's a lot to go. I mean, Moto2 is going to be a great story for us as time goes on. Oh, you know, and the other thing that's been weird, I don't even know if I'm talking.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Yeah, you are.
Matt Millad, he's creating stirring up a hornet's nest. By intimating that he may, apparently he says that he's had a couple of very good offers for World Superbike Ride for next year. But he has a habit of stirring things up, it seems to me, just to see what happens.
For his own personal amusement?
I think so. And it's funny because
I don't know. I mean, in a way, Matt Blanton, his retirement was the biggest surprise about his retirement was that he actually went through it at this time, because he has announced retirement quite a few times in his career and then decided against it. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, man, that Spies, look what he did in World Superbikes. I'm going, you know, I got to go one more time.
Well,
do a World Series.
I read, so journalists across the world jumped on this. You've heard all sorts of different things. The first thing that occurred to me was, because I've heard whispers of a third Aprilia team. I'm like, yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. And maybe there is something to that. And then there was, I think, a Visor Down article about second BMW team. And I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of people that would like him to do it.
It would have to be Suzuki, Yamaha, or Aprilia. In my opinion, he's not gonna go ride a BMW around.
I thought the same thing, because the guy's always said that he wants a bike that can win, and nothing personal against the BMW S1000RR, but it did not perform as well as, for example, the Aprilia this year, and it certainly wasn't because of the caliber of riders that on it. I would not be surprised to see them coming out big time swinging next year, but the guy is so used to dominating equipment in a series and has said a lot of times that he would never go race unless he had a bike that he could win on. It's probably a lot more words than
the swimmer deserves.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mlen's last time in a World Series was in MotoGP. Well, 500 cc back in the mid 90s, early 90s. So
93.
Yeah.
Back when he had funny hair on the Kajiva. And I don't even think that lasted a whole season.
Doug Chandler.
And then Kaczynski came along and oil and water right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he even said himself back in those days that he was like a brash, snotty young kid, which I have no problem admitting. All right. I think that's it for racing news. What else we got?
Well, I had a little delivery this morning of the new MotoMatters.com calendars. One for me and one for a lucky listener who will figure out a way to give away one of these calendars next week. But so Scott Jones Photography and tons of interesting data that both him and David Emmett compiled. So you have, like, you know, birthdays of writers and when the certain rounds are, and just little historical tidbits here and there on the calendar. So it's very, very cool. And really good job on just putting the whole thing together. They look fantastic.
Yeah.
So good job, guys.
Yeah. I got mine today as well and leaf through it. And I'm really stoked by the fact that they're using, it's 10% of the proceeds to go to Riders for Health, so that's very cool as well.
Yep, yep.
Great shot, Scott. David, thanks for taking care of this. And I was chatting with Scott this morning. He says sales are exceeding expectations. And
yeah, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go out and get one.
Yeah, well, you may want to get one before they're gone.
Right.
But yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. In fact, I was looking through it, like you, I was looking at the birthdays. I'm like, oh, those guys have the same birthday. Randy DiPugno's birthday is Valentine's Day. I'm sure all the ladies are loving that.
Which is 2 days before Rossi, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Funny. Mm. Yeah, no. But excellent. Thanks for giving us the calendar to give away, guys. And I'm going to come up with an evil question. It's going to make people think, or we'll come up with an evil question.
Cool.
I think I'm a little bit more evil than you when it comes to things like that.
Definitely. You've got a lot more obscure knowledge back, you know, in all things motorcycles. So definitely. Cool.
Excellent.
We're going to do one more show this year, next week, and then we're going to take 2 weeks off, and we'll be back on January 8th. Watch out. Ciao.